All right, Bill Barty, when you're in trouble, who are you going to call? Not Ghostbusters.
Oh.
No, sirree. The American Red Cross is here to help you out.
Did you see my eyes light up?
Yeah, you winced on that one.
I thought that's one I know the answer to. Ghostbusters. And
no,
then
you said,
you said that's just a movie. That's all make-believe.
That's right.
But there's a lot of things happening in real life, and that's where the American Red Cross comes into play. And, of course, we know a lot about that, but we're going to find out what happens at a local level with the Western North Carolina regional director. She's going to join us and find out what's happening here. Listen, hurricanes are in the news. Other local emergencies happen. We're going to find out how we prepare for these and then what happens as far as response from the American Red Cross. And we're going to bring Angela Broom on right now to the Carolina Outdoors. We'll welcome her. He's Don Yeager. I'm Bill Barty. Angela, thank you for joining the Outdoor Guys here on WBT.
Thank you for having me.
Well, there's an elephant in the room right now, and it has to do, it is this great big hurricane that may come our way, may not. We're going to get something from it, some kind of wind, some kind of rains, but nobody really knows. Angela, what does the American Red Cross have to say about us preparing for a storm like that?
The first thing you should do is prepare yourself and your family, because we always say the first 72 is on you. Those first 72 hours, you need to shelter in place, probably, unless you're told to evacuate, and you need to be prepared. You need to make sure you have a gallon of water per person per day, food for your family, shelf stable foods, you know, things that are in cans. Make sure you have your can opener because you might not have power. Make sure your dogs, your pets, your cats, they have food and water stored up. So 3 days worth of supplies is pretty much the right number. If you need baby formula, diapers, medication, all of that should be prepared now while the sun is still shining, and plans need to be put in place. If you do have to evacuate, make sure that you have information like your driver's license and your phone numbers that folks you might want to call and get in touch with. Important documents. Take those with you or copies of those with you when you leave home. So right now it's about thinking about how you and your family need to prepare.
Now, you said some good things there about preparing with food for yourself and your animals, of course. I mean, I just keep seeing these pictures from Texas of dogs and cats and horses and cattle that apparently have been left behind.
It's a shame, isn't it? You hate to see things like that. You should plan for your pet just like you would for the rest of your family, right? And if you need to evacuate with the pet. If you have to go to a shelter, take the dog, the cat with you. We make arrangements at our shelters for pets to be cared for. Now, we probably can't take the horse or the cow, but the pets, your house pets, bring them to the shelter, and we will make sure with animal control and other agencies that those pets are taken care of there as well.
Well, and if you have large animals, I mean, an evacuation plan is even more important. The new equestrian center at Tryon has made offers for people in Florida to bring their horses there, for example. And, you know, there's always people within that community that are willing to help, but it's on you to get them in a trailer and get them there.
Exactly. You need to think about that and plan now. And don't wait until, you know, the storm is hitting. You need to do that ahead of time. And it's better to be safe than sorry, right? Go ahead and make those plans. We'd rather you have all those things in place and be ready and move your family or your animal out of harm's way. And then the storm maybe not come your direction. At least you took the necessary precautions.
Well, and Harvey down there in Houston and in Louisiana, Texas and Louisiana down there, gives us kind of a window of neighbors helping neighbors, people uniting in a moment of strife to help each other. But after that 72 hours happens, where is the where does the American Red Cross come into play? How do they come into play at making an emergency response afterwards?
Sure. Sure. Well, actually, we start beforehand. So we have a 120-hour time frame that we start before the hurricane ever gets here. 120 hours beforehand, we're starting to prepare. We're starting to make sure our shelter locations are available. Here in Charlotte, I have about 25 tractor trailers loaded with blankets, cots, supplies that will be needed to shelter people. They're staged here and ready to go wherever they might be needed. 3 truckloads of heater meals so that folks can have that if needed as well. They're staged, they're positioned, and as we watch the storm, we're ready to send those items to where they need to go as quickly as they need to go. And that's just what we have here in North Carolina. We've got the same thing happening in South Carolina and Georgia down the coast. So we're also standing up our volunteers. So over 90% of the people who respond to disasters for the Red Cross are volunteers, folks that are trained to shelter, to feed, mental health workers who volunteer, nurses that give their time. So we're calling upon them to say, are you ready? Can you be available the following days and times? So we're doing all the preparation now so that when and if it does come to Western North Carolina, we're going to be prepared. We're going to have those shelters open for people to go to. We're going to be able to make sure that people are fed, that they're warm, they're safe, and that they have nursing help and mental health support in those shelters. The afterwards, once we're still in response stage down in Texas with Hurricane Harvey, we haven't even started the recovery efforts, right? Because we still have people living in shelters. We have over 3,100 Red Cross volunteers down there taking care of folks. Afterwards, we start hand-holding families as they start their long-term recovery. We have caseworkers that sit with the family and say, let's talk about your next steps. And we rally the community. We bring all the agencies together and we say, okay, who's going to provide clothing? Who's going to provide food? Who's going to provide furniture? Who's going to provide financial support? We bring all of those folks together and start giving them the victims of the disaster direction on what to do next, because they need that. They're in shock. They don't know what to do when they've lost everything. And so you talked about communities rallying. That's really what happens in times of disaster. We go in there right behind the first responders as the Red Cross, but then it takes multiple agencies coming alongside. We deliver the food. North Carolina Baptist Men cook the food. We're partners. I could name a list of organizations that come alongside us in every community to care for the community and help the community recover. And then, of course, you see all these folks that step up and say, hey, what can I do? And we train people for long term. They can come get Red Cross trained in managing a shelter or the basics of feeding, or you can show up on time, an event-based volunteer, that day and say, I want to help, and we'll train you and put you to work right away as well. So you can get involved with the Red Cross, whether it's locally or whether we can get you trained to go to large-scale events like Hurricane Harvey, and hopefully not Hurricane Irma, but we can get you trained to do that as well.
Well, and that makes me want to talk. I need to reintroduce Angela Broom is our guest. She is the director of the Western North Carolina region of our American Red Cross, and it's easy to talk to you when these huge natural disasters are happening, big storms are coming in and that sort of thing, but also playing on a local level. And I was at the Rotary Club of Charlotte meeting on Tuesday, and tell us about, we had an apartment fire here in Charlotte in July. Tell us about using agencies and clubs and kind of that cross-pollination that the American Red Cross that you helped do for victims of that fire.
So the main disasters that the Red Cross responds to, that most people don't know, is single-family house fires. So somewhere, I have half of the state of North Carolina, and we have about an average of 5 to 7 fires a week. So somewhere tonight across Western North Carolina, there's going to be a family that has a house fire. And volunteers will go out and work with that family to start their recovery. But a couple of weeks ago here in Charlotte, we had a 40-unit apartment building catch fire and was condemned. And so we had 130 people that were displaced and had nowhere to go. And so we sheltered those folks in a gymnasium for a little over 2 weeks. But what was great was to see the community come alongside us. Crisis assistance here in Charlotte came in and supported those folks on the ground. We had different groups coming in and helping provide breakfast, lunch, and dinner that entire two-week time. Folks that just wanted to help. And the Rotary Club was great. They said, there's 40-some children that need back-to-school supplies. And so they rallied, raised money, and we were able to get all 43 children their school supplies, their uniforms, their winter coat, and they went back to school feeling whole. And that's really important. The best thing that a family can have is that wholeness replaced, that get them back on track, get them back to work and back in school as quickly as possible. That makes recovery so much faster, and that happens almost every day in Western North Carolina, and it's all because volunteers. Again, over 90% of our workforce is volunteers who give of their time to go take care of their neighbor down the street, and it's the most beautiful thing I get to see each and every day.
All right, well, I can't talk to the Red Cross without thinking about blood drives, so so tell us in a short period here the importance of that, of course, to the Red Cross beyond just disasters.
Sure. Well, the Red Cross supplies across the United States about 40% of the nation's blood supply. So blood is something can't be manufactured, right? It has to be somebody rolling up their sleeve and allowing us to take that. And that's a gift. It is a true gift because every donation can help up to three people that might be in an accident, fighting cancer, or whatever the case may be. And in the summertime that we're just getting out of here, our blood supply gets critically low because people travel, kids are out of school, people don't think about, oh, let me go make an appointment to give blood. So we need to keep that blood supply available. And as you can imagine, when there's large disasters like this, blood drives get canceled. And so it's important, again, to have that stock of blood available. But blood is perishable, and we have to keep replenishing that stock. So if someone can give, it is truly a gift. And there's so many people out there need it. And we need to make sure that blood supply is always available for folks in need.
And you do so much more, too. Tell us from CPR certification, babysitting certification, mm-hmm. lifeguard certification, all that stuff. Tell us the website, Angela Broom, Regional Director of our American Red Cross here in Western North Carolina.
Redcross.org. That's all you need to remember, www.redcross.org. And go there and you can find out how to get involved as a volunteer, how to make a blood donation, how to make a financial gift. All of those are ways to get involved with the Red Cross. It is your American Red Cross, and it's wonderful people from the community helping others in need. So we'd love to have folks get involved with us.
Thank you so much for joining us here on the Carolina Outdoors, and thank you for what you do. Angela Broom, American Red Cross. Don and Bill will be back after these messages.